Welcome to the official Leverage Redemption After Show, a very distinctive podcast here on Electric Now. I am Yael Teagle, and I'm joined, as always, by my incredible co-host, Felicia Michelle.
Hey, Yael. Episode 4. I'm very excited.
Me too. Today, we have some special guests. We are talking to Kate Rorick. We also have more from our interview with Beth Riesgraf, and we also have some fun games and fan art, as always. But first, we will be discussing Season 1, Episode 4, The Tower Job, directed by Mr. Noah Wiley.
Yes, that's right. And if you haven't watched episode 4 yet, I don't know what you're doing, but this is your spoiler alert. If you haven't watched it, go to IMDb TV right now and go check it out. Watch that, plus all 8 episodes that have already dropped. Binge watch over and over. Come back again and we can talk about it. So let's get into the quick cap of episode 4. It's one member of the team seeks redemption and justice by convincing Leverage to con a developer out of an entire luxury apartment building. Whole building gone. What'd you think about the episode, yo?
I really enjoy this episode, especially upon second viewing. What I love most is the fact that this episode was referenced in episode 2. Harry says, when he goes back to get his file, he says to that other lawyer, he says, "One day you became okay with having a client who intentionally sold drugs, another who polluted water near schools, or a client who cut corners so his building collapsed, killing his construction crew." That's this episode.
That's that guy. Yeah, that's that guy. Not so cool.
I love continuity, so it made me very happy to tie it all back together. This is one of your favorite episodes.
This is one of, out of the first 8, this is one of my favorite episodes because it's like you see someone almost getting away with something and it's like, jerk back. It's kind of like those kids that wear like a leash and they like run and they like jerks them back. It was just like that to me. It was like you thought you were going to get away, but not so fast, guy.
I like the reason you like this episode. I really struggled with this one because the person that they are going after, Jason Crowley, like he suffers from PTSD. This is someone who is dealing with, triggering effects and anxiety. And I feel terrible about the way that they are attacking him. Not because he's a terrible person and deserves to be held accountable, but the way that they attack him really bothered me a little bit.
And I loved it.
Go on.
I loved it not because I think it's you should just play with people's emotions and their mental health for fun and giggles, but this guy really made so many people suffer. And not only did you make them suffer unnecessarily, you were told. We saw the first thing you hear is, the first line that comes out of this guy's mouth is him telling you that this building is not proper, that you cut too many corners, that it's going down. You narrowly escape with your life and then turn around and threaten people's freedom, essentially, and their ability to be in this country and to stay in this country, even though they have, family that are born here. So I was like, wow, you just threw in immigration, all that, and you just, like, threaten someone's life, you know that you're the reason that these people died. And essentially, like, your PTSD, I can't really get down with him because it could just be like survivor's guilt, and he totally deserves that because who's to say you should have survived? He has so much survivor guilt and PTSD, that so much so that this man has built a chute to take him from the top of a building to the bottom. I was like, that's nuts.
But before we get to the shoot, let's talk a little bit more about this episode. We have this really intricate scene where we have Parker's with Jason and Krista. Sophie is taking the real Miss Bissette on the tour, and it's happening at the same time. And I really appreciated that it was questioned why we're doing it all at the same time. Because as a viewer, I was like, why would you possibly do this at the same time? And the answer needs to be noted. So inspections like this are billed to the client, so they're going to know what time her car arrives, what time she leaves, because they're having to pay for it. So that is why, which
there you go.
Is great. Because again, as a viewer, I was like, but why would they do it? And then really, we have this moment where Elliot says to Brianna, because it's more fun this way.
How about them like trying to go through the little side entrance? Like, oh no, this is a great entrance to go in. Like, of course there's like trash right there and right there, and there's nobody around, but this is a fabulous entrance. This is the one you want to go to. This is it.
Yeah, this was such a fun, had a little bit of shenanigans, which we love, but it wasn't as a little over the top as the one before. It had these really great, the tour. I love the moment where Harry picks up the fire extinguisher and he's like, we have these on every, and Sophie goes, uh-uh. And he goes, almost every floor. I love that moment. It was so funny.
No, it was really cool to watch that happen at the same time. And it also plays to like how our team really kind of works to like the last second they're doing something. They don't mind cutting it close at all. And they just kind of just reinforce that, like, hey, they know that they're cutting it close. They're doing it for a reason and they don't mind it.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy breezy to them. Like, oh, okay. Well, I have a whole tenth of a second. You know, right. That's been said before. Like, you have time. You know?
Yeah. Harry brought this case to our team, and I appreciate Sophie's skepticism. She says, you know, I'm all for taking initiative, but usually we let our clients find us. And I think that it's so interesting, and I can't believe that not one of them put it together, because it was said on comms that this is a case of his, or this was one of his clients. So it really surprised me that no one put it together, but also that no one was suspicious.
Mm.
And I guess without Hardison, no one's doing the background check.
The background hacking, because that's old now.
Right. And they checked him out when Hardison was there, but Hardison wasn't there to point out this little thing.
I think it mainly boils down to, like, at this point now, we're in episode 4, they've decided to trust him a bit more.
Yeah.
And that shows growth. That shows character development and growth, because these were not people that trusted anyone. But let's talk about the real villain. Falling in love with a trifling woman. That is the real villain. And falling in love with a trifling person is the real villain in anyone's life. Okay?
I see.
Because he, like you said, he's in this weird kind of like mental state where his mental health really is kind of like shaky through that whole trial, like, right, through the whole thing. And even though he's a bad guy, he got away with that, seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
He still suffers. And so where I think maybe in a different world where he wasn't engaged to such a conniving woman, he could have gotten better, because his mental health would have made him.
Mm.
But she just kind of hitched her wagon to his and was like, no, we're gonna ride this evil train right to the main station.
Yeah, he is the villain, but
Dirty Diana.
She is worse. She's so much worse.
Horrible.
I really enjoyed the scene where Sophie brings Brianna undercover. 6 days. Let's talk a little bit about 6 days as a character.
First off, I want to do that hairstyle because it looks so fun.
I agree. I cannot wait to see it on our show here.
I always take a picture or something. I'm not coming on showing like that. But
it was like Scary Spice.
It was kind of, I was like, it's giving me like Scary Spice, Janet Jackson, Velvet Rope kind of 90s like vibe. And I was like, it's a look kind of like, actually, like, I know it's a character, but it's a look.
It wasn't just that. The suit was beautiful. And then she was barefoot. That just, like, really sold it.
Such an artist.
Such an artist.
Like, my feet must be connected directly to the ground. Yeah. Like.
And when we have this character, it ties into Harry's backstory, because Harry, he's good at paperwork. That's what he does. So he puts this trigger clause into their contract to help them get out of the condo, which I think was really fun and clever, because, you know,
it's like, I buried it so deep. No one ever reads that.
Right.
No one reads it. And then, like, you think, I don't know, many people probably have signed contracts. Or if you haven't signed a contract, you have a smartphone, you did, because you hit accept. But you bet you didn't read all those paragraphs. Did you?
Yeah.
And now they know your mama lives. Because you told them and you said it was okay. Because you don't read through that. And it's so funny. Like, he still hasn't, like, learned to be a proper businessman.
Luckily, it helps our team. But then he has to go undercover into this dinner party, and we see him kind of, you know, blow his cover. And this reminds me a lot of when Nate used to get upset and blow his cover. But the difference is, when Nate would do it, and he, you know, it reminds me of the episode where they took down IYS, and he says, you know, I'm going to rob your museum, is that he has thought 30 steps ahead.
Yeah.
Harry blows his cover.
You have no plan.
No plan.
I got it, though. It made sense because Harry does not have the same origins as our team does.
Right.
He is not, he's used to learning the law and how to get around that, but not really being as conniving or manipulative or be able to hide his emotions. Because once he got rolling and once he saw that this, his former client felt so comfortable to know that he wasn't, still wasn't doing right, it just pissed him off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like something that he couldn't control. And I kind of got that because he's not at that space yet. He's just realizing that I'm wrong and I've been wrong for a long time. And it's probably a bit of not even just anger towards this person, but disgust and anger towards myself. Like, I'm so disgusted. You ever talk to somebody and they just like saying some really crazy stuff? Like, I'm just disgusted, like, even speaking to you right now. The fact that I'm even having to listen to you. And that's kind of how it seemed like he was just getting angrier and angrier because I got you off and you don't even care about these people. You still mm-hmm. are doing the same stuff and you're confident that I'm going to continue to be in this space and help you to get away with your mess.
It's really interesting to watch this evolution of Harry, especially, you know, in this episode we hear Mr. Wilson doesn't do well and is going to get voted out, and the team decides to let him have a chance, and Brianna's happy because she looks better.
Yeah, she's like, well, he messing up worse than me. I mean, I almost got arrested. He kind of just went off. Like, he's our in and he blew it. So.
Right. And so we have all these references where Sophie calls him Mr. Wilson and calls him Mr. Wilson. And I'm going to tease it right here that if you wait till episode 8, I got Gina to explain to us why he's always referred to as Mr. Wilson.
Okay, I'm interested to hear that.
Yeah, but let's keep going with this con that they pull. We've got the rumbles and the targeted subsonic projector that gives you vertigo.
Yeah.
I need one of these.
I thought it was hilarious because I was like, oh, it must be so fun to press that little button and just all of a sudden, whoop, you're on the ground.
I don't know why I need one, but I do. I don't know what I would do with it, but I like it.
I don't want to confess to anything, so I'll be quiet. But I do kind of want one, too. But it kind of feels good for someone to get that. Like, he experienced that instance that gave him that PTSD in the first place, that mm-hmm. building shaking. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure you felt earthquakes living here in California. I felt them, too. And you're like, woo. But can you imagine, like, no one else feels it. It's just you. Mm-hmm. Like, and he acted a fool. He acted a plum fool. Their plan worked perfectly. The room was shaking. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, we have that moment when the room is shaking, when he's freaking out, where Brianna asks Sophie, she says, we're gonna mess this guy pretty hard. Are we the bad guys here? And Sophie reminds her, oh yeah, never forget that. We're not the heroes. We're just necessary. And it really does tie into the original series, the original saying, sometimes bad guys make the best good guys. And that's what we have, is they are bad guys. They are criminals. They do break the law. They literally broke into this person's home to steal from his safe and to trigger his anxiety attacks.
To make him act crazy.
Right.
And he acted real crazy.
Yeah. So they're not the good guys.
Did you think he was going to jump?
Do
you think he was going to like, unalive himself?
For a second, it did cross my mind that he was going to jump, and then I remember that this show doesn't go that dark. thankfully, this show doesn't go that dark. But also, I went, oh, there. I remember earlier he pointed out that there's a way out from the roof. But when he runs up to the roof early on, I was like, why are we running to the roof? That's not what you do.
And I was like, why? I'm like, running to the roof? I'm running out the door. Because right. You ran out the door last time the building fell. So, but
right.
Imagine being so traumatized by that and knowing what you did. And I think that in some regard, this character believes in karma because he seems very concerned of the same thing happening again to him. So him putting in that shoot just lets me know he knows that he was wrong and he knows that something bad should happen to him. So he's trying to prevent all the bad things that could happen. So if this building falls again, I have a, I don't know, ridiculous slide, the world's most ridiculous slide to go down.
Yeah. Well, luckily, the way that the episode ends, the Leverage team buys the tower, donates it to a low-income housing nonprofit, which I think is really beautiful. And I love that one of the great things about the show is, in addition to the bad guy gets their due and the team gets away and it's great, is that they do something for the people. There's always an extra step that they do for the people. It's not just, we're going to get you your money back. It's, we're going to get you your money back. We're going to donate money to this other charity. We're going to do all of these wonderful things. Because I think what it does for a viewer is not just give us this hope, but it also lets us hear about things that we can do. What can we do? We can help nonprofits for housing. We can help give people money and take care of them. We can do something. And so it's not just hope, yeah. It's action.
Luxury apartment building in New Orleans. Like, that's kind of that's kind of lit. Kind of wish it was real life a little bit. Maybe not the whole building collapsing thing, but the donation of an amazing building for people in need. Super dope.
Yeah. And in the end, Harry says that he's going to go after Jason and Krista for the family. I think we keep hearing little teases at the end of each episode, and I'm wondering, because I love continuity and I love people coming back, I'm wondering if they will continue and we will get to see it happen. Because at this point, Harry's taken on a lot of clients. Is he planning to go back into law? Is he gonna leave the team?
I feel like Harry has represented some of the worst, mm-hmm. and we will get to see them in future episodes. Everything so far kind of has had a Harry tied to it, right. You know, he's where we're finding our bad people, mm-hmm. and we're not finding our bad guys through him, he's the end to be able to get connected to them somehow, and then, you know, in episode 2 when he goes trying to get his files back and they're gone, I think there's more to that too, and foreshadowing that's happening there, because again, he represents so many people, and I can't imagine that. So he did two things. So in this episode, when Harry gets upset and he loses his cool, he also kind of lost his cool in the lobby with his boss. Mm-hmm. In my head, what I would like to see is a little head-to-head with them.
Yeah.
That power dynamic and, like, that change, like, that real good versus evil, because at one point they were both on the same side of evil. Right. And they both know the skeletons in the other's closet. So I'd be interested if we see anybody or a resurgence of anyone that's connected to Harry, I would love it to be his boss and take down that whole thing. Like, disrupt the establishment. Take it all down. Like, all of that.
I love what you're saying, and I think you're right. And I think that also, you know, in that quote that I mentioned earlier from the second episode, he mentions three cases, and we've dealt with the client who intentionally sold dangerous drugs. Mm-hmm. We've now dealt with the one who cut corners with his building. I think we're going to deal with the one who polluted the waters near the schools. I think we're going to deal with that at some point.
Very Aaron Brockovich.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm here for it, though. That's cool. That's great. And that's amazing foreshadowing. I think it just really speaks to, like, how thoughtful the showrunners and writers and creators and even the actors are in this, that they take the time for things to connect and that continuity that you love.
I do love it.
And provide like the viewers with that, because they know people are watching really closely. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I see what you did there. Okay. So I'm gonna have to write that down. Maybe we'll see him or hear about that case.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, there was another reference to Harry's daughter in this episode. It was a real brief moment when he leaves the dinner party. Jason says his daughter called Nia to go.
Still don't know.
Still don't know anything about her. There is still so much we don't know and still so much to come. So stick around. We'll be right back. I am so excited to be sitting with our co-showrunner, Kate Rourke. Hello, Kate. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Yael. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about your position within this show, right? Because I feel like for us OG Leverage fans, when we look at Leverage, we know that there's Dean, we know that there's Chris, we know that there's John. How do you fit into the picture for the newer series and for the new fans?
Where do I come from? Well, I I was not involved in the original Leverage series, except as a fan, which I really enjoyed the show. But I worked with both Dean and John Rogers on The Librarians, which I was part of since the inception, and I was there for the whole show. So I became very, very good friends with them, and very, very, I think I was a good coworker with them. In terms of like how the organization works, how these guys like to think about their shows. And when the idea of Leverage came up and Dean pitched it to me, I was just, first of all, immensely flattered. And second of all, just like, yes, please. I really want to watch more of these people. I really want to, I felt like the world had taken us to such a place where the past 8 years have been these 8 years. And it feels like bad guys have just gotten very proud about their badness and very vocal about it. And I'm just like, no, we need to take some of these guys down, at least fictionally. So I was very, very glad to be involved in Leverage at that point.
Yeah. So what is your job as a showrunner? What does that look like for those of us who may not know how TV works?
A showrunner is the head writer and the producer who assembles all the writers, who works with them to break the story, to shepherd each every episode from idea to draft, to into production, to rewrites. That's what the showrunner's job is to make sure that there's connectivity and fluidity between all of the episodes. Basically, you just have... You're the brain for the whole thing, for the show. So I was very glad that I wasn't the only brain and that Dean was also the brain on this, because he's he's incredibly, incredibly talented and very, very good at the, especially at the production side of things. So he was on the ground in New Orleans the whole time.
Amazing. And so you have the like idea in your head, you see the big picture, you see where we're going from the first episode to the end of the season.
Yeah, we are tracking all the characters and all of their arcs and all of the storylines that we want to tell.
Was there a storyline this season in these 8 episodes that you were particularly excited for people to see?
Oh gosh, I was mostly, the biggest excitement for me was to have fans re-experience the characters. And I personally fell, you know, madly in love with both Harry and Brianna's character, but I was so nervous that, you know, people were going to be like, this isn't the original show. But I'm really, really gratified with the reception that both characters have gotten, because I think that they really bring something new to something that we love already.
Well, let's talk about Brianna for a little bit, because she is our first queer woman of color on the show. She is our first woman in STEM that we have. Let's talk about the creation of this character and bringing her in. How did those conversations happen?
Well, we knew that we wanted, we knew that we were not going to have Aldous available to us, because he's just got an insane schedule. He gave us as much time as he possibly could, and we are forever grateful for him being able to do that. But we knew we needed that particular skill set to be available to us, the techie, the hacker skill set. And we wanted somebody that could bring a little bit of a younger perspective, because as Brianna says in episode 3, it's like, guys, my first memories of 9/11, I don't remember the good old days the way you do. It's just been bad from here on out. So I wanted somebody who wanted to fight back in a way for something that she hoped for, not for something that she remembered.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a good way to look at that character. Episode 4, of course, the tower job. This is kind of ripped from the headlines.
Well, it's ripped from the headlines, but it's also perennial. We always hear about buildings that have been under constructed and that have been and that are abusive of their workers and just trying to, you know, make their margins in such a way that they actually imperil people. I mean, the tower in Florida just collapsed a few weeks ago, which obviously we didn't know was going to happen. But it's something that we wanted to take a closer look at as villains.
Yeah, this show, you know, the original series was sometimes bad guys make the best good guys. And now we are I feel like our team really is good guys, you know, and they're bringing on a bad guy to help them do better things, but they're trying to do good deeds. This episode specifically, I love the moment where Sophie has to remind Brianna that we are not the good guys because they feel like good guys. How do you balance this good versus bad with our team?
Well, I think we have a team of people that have been good for a number of years, but they didn't start out that way. So it's very hard to change your opinion of yourself. They can still see themselves as bad guys with bad guy skills. But Harry is only very recently making that adjustment to realizing he was a bad guy and he needs to make a change. I feel like we have people who are good guys but feel like they're bad guys and using their bad guy skills for good. And then we have Harry, who's the opposite, who is a bad guy, thinks that he's been good, only now just realizing that he needs to make a change.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a really great way to describe it. It's complicated, but it's a great way to describe it. And this is the episode where Harry kind of goes a little rogue and, you know, it's his job that he really feels he needs to do, which feels very classic Leverage. I feel like the team, everyone has done that. So it's not a surprise that he did it, but tell us about the choice to do it so early on in the season.
Well, I think that Harry, he's still an enigma to us mostly because he's a bad guy, yes, but he's so jovial. He's so amiable. He's Noah Wiley. He's a nice guy. So you want to be faced a little bit with like what he's done that's bad. And yes, we touch on it a little bit in the first two episodes where he's taking down Fletcher Maxwell, who is essentially the client that pushed him over the edge, but he's got a whole backlog of cases that he had a hand in. So we really wanted to expose what he's trying to do in terms of his redemption, I guess. And no better way to do that than early on.
Can we assume, without giving out too much, can we assume that we'll be seeing other cases that he may have mentioned in the earlier episodes?
Maybe.
What a great interview. We still have more to come. We've got Bingo and more of the stars of Leverage Redemption. So we'll be right back.
Next up, we've got more from our interview with Beth Riesgraf.
Hey, this is Chris Chicane, and you're watching the official Leverage Redemption After Show. It's a very distinctive podcast.
You and I spoke a little bit about the staying in shape to have to
sure,
do all the
yeah.
wire work. How is it feeling now coming back, being in vents or whatever makeshift vents you guys are using?
Yeah, I mean, the vents are super easy because they're big. And they're solid and they're most times, you know, not real vents, guys. I hate to break it to you. Sometimes they're not real vents. They build them on stages. So I have a little ladder and I crawl up and I wait until somebody tells me to start going. But it's so fun. All that's really, really fun. That stuff is exciting because the vents have gotten bigger, actually. And so I can do full 360s. And Dean was like, I don't know, just surprise me. Just come around the corner with something. And so I am curious to see outtakes on some of those things because I'll just start laughing and blow a take or whatever. But all that stuff is so fun. I mean, I always think, oh, that's just an easy thing. I just have to come up around a corner and do a little somersault roll thing. But if you don't stretch, if you don't do your thing, it's so funny how easily you can tweak something.
Yeah.
So I try to take it really, you know, seriously and take care of myself no matter what I'm doing. But the hardest thing I did this season was actually in another episode down the road, and we could talk about that another time. But things like that are super fun. I mean, I always like the more complicated stunts just because it's more of a challenge. And
It's about the challenge. Telling you, for like this, it's like it's amazing because we've gotten to talk to multiple people now who are on the show, run the show, and it seems like across the board, it's like whatever the challenge is, like I'm up for the challenge. Like it's like doing that, and fans can really appreciate that because, I mean, we watch a lot of television, and so we watch a lot of TV. So I know when, you know, people are not doing their physical part of that, you know, like you're an amazing actor, but that adding that physicality really just takes it to a whole other level of believability and investment for me, because I'm like, because I'll like, oh, that's not them. Totally. And I'm like, no, that's them on your show. And I think that that's so cool that like people are so committed to bring that level of work, and you know, you're kind of putting your yourself at risk because you could get hurt and that yeah. wouldn't be good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's crazy. It's really funny talking about all the stunt stuff. I was just listening to Tarantino on Dax Shepard's podcast, and they were talking about all the stunt stuff because of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and all these stories of stuntmen and the history of them. And when one is really vetted and he's just like the guy who's never gotten hurt, and you're like, oh my gosh, what is that guy like in person? And I'm like, oh, he's Christian Kane. In 30 years, that's Christian Kane, because Christian does all his own stunts, like from top to bottom. And he designs these fights along with the team. But like a lot of the time, Christian will come in and they'll have some idea of something, which is great and amazing. But Christian will find a way to reinvent the scene, do something totally new, or grab a prop and use it to bring the guy out. And ring the guy out's not really a, you know, string, knock him out.
Yeah, he
take
did the
him
thing
out.
With the neck.
Yeah.
He's out of there. It doesn't matter. Strangle he's out.
Him. Yeah. Like with the life vest and stuff yeah. in this yeah. episode. It's just so great, you know? So I've learned a lot from Christian. And one really important thing he taught me, though, was know your limitations as well. So if there's, I don't have any ego about, you know, if I can't do something, I'm not going to push it because that could potentially put me out of commission, which yeah. affects everybody. So you have to be smart about it. But I think it's fun. It is fun to say, like, oh, I learned how to, you know, knock somebody out. And
or with here's a, your or wallet.
Yeah. Or here's your wallet. That's a little safer. Yeah. So, but I like all of it. I do stay in shape because you don't know what they're going to try to, or they don't know what they're going to write next sometimes with stunts. So trying to be ready. And then sometimes I'll walk on set and they're like, oh, we decided to have you fight with Elliot today, like in this scene. We think that would actually be super cool because Christian and I talked a lot about the 8 years we've been together in the hiatus as Elliot and Parker and Hardison, and I would have picked things up for him. He would have taught me and I would have worked on those skill sets, right? Just like he would have worked on his with stealing and all the other things. So I think knowing that people are like, oh, well, let's have you both, like, you can go take that guy out, but I'm not as confident. So with Christian, I'm like, whoa, wait, hold on a second, I gotta whoo, we're rehearsing right now, let me see, can I watch it first, can I, what can I do? And so I have to slow it down, and then I go in another room and Christian and the stunt team come in and they walk me through by the numbers and then we have it down. But it's, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Speaking of where the team has been during the hiatus, mm-hmm. I have to know about Parker and Hardison.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big shipper. I am on yeah. this ship. Yeah. I will go down with this ship.
Awesome.
So let's talk about what's going on with them and the fact that Hardison has to essentially not be there for part of the season.
Yeah, it was hard, honestly, for me. You know, what we achieved with COVID on a, you know, a real level yeah. was so intense. And what Dean and his entire crew was able to do with this show was phenomenal. So the fact that we got the episodes made, the fact that we didn't shut down, all of that was incredible. What did happen, though, was there was a delay at the start, right? So everything got shifted forward, which meant schedules weren't going to line up. Yeah. And there was a minute where we didn't know, because I was still on 68 Whiskey. So I didn't know how many I was going to be able to do and whatever. And to the writers' credits, like, they figured it out very kind of last minute, because we were kind of rolling with, okay, we're gonna have him for this much of the time and maybe this one, da, 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 da. And then I thought, oh yeah, but this is great, this is going to be an opportunity for us to try something new and establish the fact that they're unshakable. Mm-hmm. And as much as we're all going to miss seeing his face and his comedy and everything that's so great about that in those moments, we know he's there and he didn't go anywhere. And that's, yeah. I think, important for everybody. And they've been at it, you know, going strong. And I think the cool thing is now she's got such certainty. She doesn't like to be, I mean, she gets sad when he has to leave. Obviously, it's hard.
She has
abandonment
dangerous. Issues.
Exactly. Yeah. So that first moment, it's like, don't leave me. I don't want you to go. And then she knows he has to do it. Because at the end of the day, they started out as teammates. And, you know, they still are. So on all levels now, which is really kind of beautiful. So I think I asked for some things that I hope we can do next time around, even if one of us can't be physically present. But the limitations with COVID were really tough. So there's only so many, you know, people you can have in a room. There's only so many things you could do. But I think we can have a lot of fun with the idea that one of us is off on a bigger, better job. And find ways of continuing the fun of that, which I'm excited about. But I think they're in such a good place now. And I think the moments when you do see them on, there's such a certainty and calmness about it. And then they still have their playful banter, of course. But it's, I think, a great payoff for all the years that people were like, are they together? Are they not together? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine them not together. Everybody. Writers, everybody.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
No,
this
I'm
is
an
unbreakable ship.
Yeah. No, the three of them equally so, right? Like that threesome of Chris, Elliot, Hardison, and Parker. I mean, going back watching some of these episodes, I was like, that chemistry we found with all of us, obviously, but like the three of us when we would go off and then those two like brothers, I was just like, oh my gosh, we found something so fun and so unique because every time we play with it, then it wasn't like if we found a beat we just stick with the same beat over and over, we would then throw something different. And I think that's the thing that I love the most about that relationship and why it works so well, is because there is a genuine chemistry and love and listening, and it's real. Like we do that as actors, but as the characters, right? So it's so much fun to play, and it feels very grounded because it is.
Like always, we are playing bingo here on the Leverage Redemption After
bum, bum,
Show.
Bum, bum. Sorry, I don't know where that came from.
That was great. We released some printable Leverage Redemption bingo cards on our Twitter at After Leverage. You can print those out, fill them in with your own things, or check out the bingo cards that we made that have the events that we are looking for. These were again inspired by @LeverageOT3 on Twitter. I'm so excited about today's bingo. I realized that I missed one last week, and it was that Brianna saved the con. So if you didn't have that for episode 2, throw that onto your bingo board. But let's read episode 4's bingo board.
Gotcha.
Here we go. We have mention of art again. I'm counting the Royal College of Art. I didn't get to count how many times she said it, but if you did, please let us know. We also have 6 Days, who is a street artist. There was a longer description. I'm no artist. She's a street artist. I'll accept that. 6 Days was an artist. Parker not only jumps off a balcony, which counts as jumping off a tall building, but she then jumps down the chute repeatedly at the end. We have our nerd reference when Parker speaks Klingon and Elliot translates it. We also have let's go steal a luxury development condo financier. Harry attempts to do the let's go steal. Not only does he fail, but he is confused. So mark that off your bingo board. He says, you guys act like there are rules to this. And then no one explains what they are. Harry, you just know.
Just keep playing the game. You'll figure it out, Harry.
And then, of course, we have some really great emotions in this episode. Harry and Sophie have a chat. And then Harry and Elliot in the elevator. I really love the part where Elliot explains that Nate put together his team and that little by little you'll get your soul back. And I think that's so beautiful. So those are the ones I found for the bingo board. It's not that many this time. Let me know if I missed any. And check out the bingo board for yourself at After Leverage. Let's check out this really fun game we made Beth Griesgraf and Christian Kane play. Favorite emoji?
Egg. Mad.
Okay.
Mad is my
favorite. With the red face or the regular face?
Red face.
Oh.
That's Elliot.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It should be. If you type in Elliot, that emoji should come up.
Favorite emoji?
Oh. Ah, hold on. What? Okay, I gotta get in the game. Gotta get in the zone. Favorite emoji? Oh, these are gonna be hard. Okay. Well, damn it. Hardison. Just kidding. Okay, hold on. I gotta get my head in the game. All right. Okay. Ask me again.
Favorite emoji?
The heart.
Your favorite character that Elliot got to pretend to be?
The MMA fighter.
Favorite character that Parker had to be undercover?
Ooh, this season?
Ever.
Ever? What? Oh, man. Okay. The nun? Because you never really saw why?
Preferred platform, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok.
Instagram.
Favorite person to follow on Instagram?
Wow, that's a good one. Lady Gaga.
Preferred platform: Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok.
Instagram.
Favorite person you follow on Instagram?
My son.
Favorite breakfast food?
Breakfast burrito.
Breakfast burrito.
Last text you sent to a cast member?
It was to Beth, and I said, I'm with you.
Christian, but yes, if I was going to be here or not, and otherwise he wasn't going to wait. And I was like, go home. I'm going to be too long.
Preferred pizza topping?
Pineapple.
Preferred pizza topping?
Ooh, pepperoni.
Pool or beach?
Beach.
Pool or beach?
Beach.
Summer or winter?
Winter.
Summer.
In an alternate universe, which leverage character would you want to play?
Ooh, gosh, that's hard. Okay, Hardison?
I'm Elliot Spencer.
Oh, that's fair.
It doesn't get better than that.
What's a show you'd want to see Leverage crossover with?
NCIS with Mark Harmon. Okay. Harmon's a good buddy of mine. We did a movie, and so I would love to do something where I got to play with Mark, and I think it would be fun for them to try and catch us.
Any sort of superhero set type thing, just because I want to see our characters go without limits fully on planetary limits. I want to see what they would do with all the power.
Dream guest star.
Oh man, dream guest star. Guys, I'm not very rapid fire with this. There's too many. I just got flooded with every actor and actress I've ever known in my life.
All of them. List them all.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh gosh, you know, I really want Jonathan Frakes to be in an episode. I would love a scene with Frakes.
I don't know. I love Skeet Ulrich. I would love to have Skeet back, work with Skeet again. We've worked together twice, and I'd love to have Skeet come in, so yeah.
Well, that's it. Thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you.
Oh, this
what do we do?
Fantastic.
Is there poppers? Do we?
Yeah.
No, we order you a pizza with pineapple by yourself, and it's just yours because no one else wants it.
Well, I don't want pizza with just pineapple. You got to have pineapple with Canadian bacon or pepperoni, to be honest with you.
Oh, like
and
Hawaiian.
Jalapeno.
Okay.
Well,
you said pineapple. I was shocked.
Listen, you know what assumption is.
Hey, don't go anywhere because when we come back, we have some really awesome fan art to show you guys. Stay here.
We know that this show would be nothing without the fans, so we want to show you some incredible fan art that has been sent to us on Twitter at After Leverage. If you want to be featured, you could tweet us at After Leverage or DM us on Instagram. I'm at Yael Teagle, and she is at It's Felicia Michelle. The official Leverage Redemption After Show is part of the Electric Surge Network on Electric Now. We recommend checking out some of our other original content like Inglourious Trekspertz, The 430 Movie, and Best Movies Never Made. Finally, a very special thank you to Bill Ritter, Patrick Meany, and everyone at Electric Surge Network, our producers Natalie Michelli, and of course Dean Devlin, without whom this show would not be possible.
Thank you so much for joining us again. We had an awesome guest again this week. We are too spoiled, and we will spoil you too, because next week there's going to be more exclusive interviews with the cast and showrunners. And don't go anywhere. So until next time, I'm Felicia Michelle.
I'm Yael Teagle.
And this has been a very distinctive podcast.